So before we start learning tonight, the Divrei Torah, tonight's shir is dedicated to Ilui Nishmas Rabbi Binyamin ben Rabbi Mordechai Dov, Shianuach B'Sholom Al Mishkova, he should be a Melech Yosef for his family, Vo Isha Cheshuva Chaya Chesa Basra Bavrom Arya Koyen, Shitanuach B'Sholom Al Mishkova, and she as well should be a Melech Yosef for her family, and you should all hear Besodas Tovis. It is also dedicated L'Refuah Shleima for Etel Bas Rochel, Shekudosh Baruch Hu Yishlach L'Refuah Shleima L'Ramach Yevoreo, V'Shesor Kedeo, and for the Chole Ben Zion Ben Rochel, Shekudosh Baruch Hu Yishlach L'Refuah Shleima L'Ramach Yevoreo, V'Shesor Godov, and he should have many more wonderful years with this very wonderful and special family. So today's shiur deals with some very, very interesting and fundamental and important questions. One of the Aseres HaDibros that we learn in Parashas Yisroi, Zochres Yom Shabbos L'Kadshoi, Sheshes Yom Tavad Yisizu Kol Melachtecho, V'yom Shvi Shabbos L'Hashem Elokecho, Lo Yisasa Kol Malocho, Ato Vincho V'Techo, Avdecho V'Masecho V'Amtecho V'Gecho, Asher B'Shorecho. So with every passing day, technology poses new challenges in Shmiras Shabbos, new shilas and new challenges. Today, we will not be speaking about electricity or electronics, rather, the vast array of new devices, motion-activated, voice-activated. Some of you are familiar with Siri and Alexa and other systems in which you don't even have to push a button. You just talk. All you need is just talk. And you ask your device, you ask Siri to put on the lights, to call Pliny, to call Almighty, and to do fulfill all your wishes and whims. And there is advanced research. Obviously, we are on the verge of thought-activated devices in which people will be able to be so lazy, there will be no need even to talk. All you need is think. I think we're approaching a time in which thinking would be too much of an effort. And then, how will people achieve their goals without the need to think? So, we will be discussing today some interesting ideas. The shiur will not be geared halacha lemaisa, because that is not the nature of this shiur. This shiur is not a halacha lemaisa, but rather lishtasheh bedivrei Torah, and just developing the sugyas and the understanding of the issues at stake. So we'll start off with a question. Does a person bear responsibility on things that he achieves with dibur ba'alma? So once upon a time, there was no technologies in which you had voice-activated devices. But on the other hand, they had technology that we don't have. Shame. Hoireg al yedei shame. Koifetz al yedei shame. We didn't know how to do that, but obviously they did. So we know many things, and we have many abilities they didn't have, but obviously they had some ideas and possibilities that we don't have. So we will bring various different sources. Does a person bear responsibility, or is he mekayem a mitzvah by what he achieves without really using his hands and koichoi, but rather dibur peh? And then we will deal with an additional subject which is relevant. Me'inyan le'inyan ba'oiseyu inyan, the concept of dumya de mishkan. Because as we move on with every passing day, technology gives us such amazing possibilities, and some of the malachas we perform today aren't even remotely similar to the way our forefathers performed those same malachas in the times of Hagomas and Mishkan going back thousands of years. So the Gemara says in Brochas Daf Nun Hey, Yerdeya Hoyo Betzalel Letzaref Oisias Shebehem Nivru Shemayim Va'oretz. Betzalel was, needless to say, wise, and he was a sage. I don't know whether he was a Navi, but the Gemara says in Brochas Nun Hey, when Betzalel did the Klei HaMikdosh, Yerdeya Hoyo Letzaref Oisias Shebehem Nivru Shemayim Va'oretz. And Rashi says, Ali Dei Seifi Yetzira. And that is the way he made Klei HaMikdash. So we know that Malach HaShabbos we learn from HaKomes HaMishkan. So could we prove from here that when a person performs Malachas and Shabbos Alidei Shem, Alidei Seif Yetzirah, he bears responsibility? Because if we learn from Malachas Mishkan, and that is the way Bezalel may declare Mishkan. No, I think this question doesn't carry any weight for many reasons. Nowhere do we find that we learn the Malachas from Bezalel. No. We learn Malachas Shabbos Malachas Mishkan. All the malachas that were essential in a Kumas Mishkan, those are the Lamatas malachas. Not necessarily the way Bezalel performed those malachas. The Hekesh, Iskeshu Malecha Shabbos, the Malechas Mishkan, all we learn from that Hekesh, which are the Lamatas malachas. The malachas that were needed, essential, instrumental, in a Kumas Mishkan, those are the magic Lamed Tes Malachas. It has nothing to do with the way Bezalel actually performed those Malachas. That is one answer. Second answer is, no Malacha is learned from the actual construction of Klei HaMikdash. All the Malachas are far earlier stages. HaChodesh VaHazoreah VaHakoytzer VaHazoyer VaHaboyer Zriya sasamemonim, Viktsira sasamemonim. Bezalel didn't do that stuff Alidei Shem. He made the clay Mishkan Alidei Shem. None of the Lamatas Malachas are actually learned from Asiyas Klei HaMishkan. You could check the list of Lamatas. Therefore, this question is totally irrelevant. Do we find specific sources in which the Rishonim, in which Chazal, in which the Achronim deal? When a person performs Malachas, Mitzvahs, Mitzvah Saseh, or he violates Mitzvah Loi Saseh, Alidei Shem, Alidei Dibu, does he bear responsibility? Are the Maisim valid? Yes, I remember quite a few sources, so let's start on our journey. The Rosh, Masechet Psochim, Perik Yod, Siman Yud Gimel, brings various different minhugim referring to Shabbos afternoon ben Mincha Lamarev. Rabbeinu Shalom Memosa Machasya, one of the Ga'onim, said that between Mincha Marav Shabbos afternoon, we say Tzedek Adin, and we should not be Koivea Shi'urim Berabim, because that is when Moshe Rabbeinu, Ola Besaro HaShamaimo, Chochem Shemais, Mevatlin Yeshiva. Moshe was Rabbon Shel Kol Yisrael. So Shabbos afternoon, Ben Mincha Lamarav, is the time of Moshe Rabbeinu's demise, and that is why we say Tzedek Adin, and we should not be Koveye Yeshiva. That's what the Rosh quotes from Rabbeinu Sholom and Moshe Machasya. And the Rosh totally rejects the idea that Moshe passed away Shabbos afternoon. It's impossible, because the Medrash says in Parshas V'yelech, Yoy Moshe Shon Moshe Rabbeinu, he wrote Yud Gimel Sifrei Torah. If it was Shabbos, how could you write a Sefer Torah on Shabbos? So the Rosh proves from this Medrash, no, it can be that Moshe died on Shabbos. B'yoy Moshe, because of Yud Gimel Sifrei Torah. So Chuvas Chasam Soifor Chelek Vav Simachov Tes, he quotes the Shlo. The Shlo says, no, that is not a reason to reject what the Ga'onim said. Because how could a person possibly write 13 Sifrei Torah in one day? So he wrote Al Yedei Shem. Al Yedei Hashbo'as HaKulmus. I don't know exactly what Hashbo'as HaKulmus is, but actually it's a certain methodology in which the Kulmus just writes on its own. You don't even have to hold it. So the Shlo says, Moshe Rabbeinu Kosev Al Yedei Shem Hashbo'as HaKulmus, and that is not a violation of Malecha Shabbos. It's not considered Kosev B'Shabbos. That's what the Chsam Sofer Chelek Vav Samachov Tes quotes in the name of the Shlo. So the Chassam Sofer asks, but there still would be a problem of Shvisas Kalim. Well, Ledidan Leislan Shvisas Kalim. Beishamai holds Shvisas Kalim, not Beis Hillel. So how would Beishamai deal with the question of Moshe Rabbeinu, Shabbos writing Yud Gimel Sifrei Torah? So the Chassam Sofer argues, it's Kalach HaYad. What does he mean? Probably he means Shvisas Kalim by Nisid Rabbonin doesn't apply. Shvisas Kalim b'Kalachiyad. But I think Kalachiyad refers to the person. What does it have to do with the Kli? If the Kulmus writes, then the Kli is performing a Malacha. From the perspective of the person, it's kalachiyad. But kalachiyad is a concept which doesn't refer to shvisas kalim. It refers to shvisas o'odom. How would that solve the problem of shvisas kalim? But I really don't understand the problem of shvisas kalim at all. Shvisas kalim is only your kli, like shvisas behemtoi is your behemah. Well, if a person knows how to write al yedei shem by shavos akulmus, obviously that same shem will create a kulmus. I think so. So Moshe Rabbeinu didn't have to take his own kulmus to write those yud gimel sifrei Torah. If he could quote a shem and that shem writes al yedei shavos kulmus, I would just guess that that same shem would create the kulmus as well. Otherwise, Moshe Rabbeinu could be mafkir the kulmus, just like b'shvisas behemtoi. You know, the solution is your mafka the behemah. So what's the bikasha about shvisas kalim at all? So the Shulah HaKodesh says, if you write Ali Deshem, that is not a violation of Hilcha Shabbos. And I wonder, then how would the Sefer Torah be a Sefer Torah kosher? If it's not Ksiva Lagabi Shabbos, why would it be Ksiva Lagabi Sefer Torah? I do not assume that those Yud Gimel Sefer Torah that Moshe Rabbeinu wrote were posel lekriya. Doesn't really make sense. Not very reasonable that the Sefer Torah that Moshe Rabbeinu left for each and every Shevet B'Yisrael were posel asvor. No, doesn't make sense. So if it's a kosher Sefer Torah, why wouldn't there be an Isor Ksiva? One could be Machalik. One could be Machalik between Koisa B'Shabbos, which is in Gavra, and maybe Koisa B'Smoil, B'Shabbos Potter. Lagabe Sefer Torah, it's kosher. Not Lechetchila, but it's kosher. So maybe Koisev Aradei Shem would be a kosher Ksiva Lagabe Sefer Torah, even though it wouldn't be a Chilul Shabbos. So that is source number one. The Palmos, the controversy about Rabbeinu Sholom Amos HaMachasi and the Kash of Arash and the Teretz of the Chsam Sofer and the Shlo, concept number one. And in this source, we dealt both with the Mitzvah Saseh and with the Lav of Koisev B'Shabbos and the Mitzvah Saseh of Ksiva Sefer Torah. Source number two is a Gemara in Sanhedrin, Daf Kuf Aleph Amud Aleph. Loichshin al nechoshim va'akrabim b'Shabbos, and that is also a Shif in Shulchan Aruch, Shin Chof Chesif Mem Hei. So there is a certain method, al yedei lachash. As I said before, yes, our technology is far more advanced than the technology of our forefathers. But they had some ideas that we're not aware of, so they had possibilities we don't have. So loichshin al nechoshim v'akravim, you say alachash and the nechoshim and akravim are paralyzed. Would that be an isur of tzeida? So the Gemara says Sanhedrin Kuf Aleph, and that is a sif mem hei, sif mem hei and shin chof ches. That is permissible on Shabbos. Ve'ein bekach tzeide. Rashi writes on this pattern, Sanhedrin Kuf Aleph, ve'ein bo tzeide. Why? Why would that not be considered tzeide? So the Levush, Shin Chof Ches, that very sif I quoted, the Levush says, ein ze derech tzeide. If it's only a question of derech tzeide, it still would be an issur derabbanan. Shelo kederech asiyas amalochas kalachayad. Kalachayad is also derabbanan. But the Shulchan Aruch says, and the Gemara says it's muta lechatchila, loichshin. So the Ravush says, ein ze derech tzeide. Derech tzeide wouldn't be sufficient. The Mishnah Berurah, Sif Kotten Kuf Mem Gimel, has a different formulation. And the Mishnah Berurah says, mekivan she'ein ze tzeide tivis. It is not natural tzeide. And because it's supernatural and not natural, that would not be defined as a malach. So once again, it's not a shame, but it's a lachash. And I don't really know the basic difference between a shame and a lachash, but there probably is some difference. But the common denominator between them both is dibur ba'alma. Derech tzeide is, you know, catching animals with your hands, with tools, with nets. But so this is permissible. So the Mishnah Berurah says, ein ze tzeide tivis. So there's a Sefer Geza Yishai, one of the Gedolim in Tveri, going back more than 200 years ago. And he deals with the question if a person makes a Goylem al yedei Sefer Yetzirah. Well, there's the story about the Maral that made a Goylem. We don't really have any real historical evidence that the Maral actually made a Goylem, but there is an amazing Shuv and Chacham Tzvi, Simen Tzadik Gimel, the Chacham Tzvi testifies that his Zayda, Rabbi Eliyahu Baal Shem, made a golem. And father and son, the Chacham Tzvi and Rabbi Yaakov Emden, both deal with the shaila of a golem. But and the Geza Yishai asks, would that be permissible on Shabbos? If a person uses Seifi Yetzira and he creates a golem on Shabbos, would that be a question of boina? Would it be a question of a lush? The description, how that golem comes to be, you know, there might be some lisha involved, and maybe that would be boina. So the Geza Yishai wants a proof from Rashi. That Rashi ain't boit seida because it's not natural process. And if it's not a natural process, there is no seida. So he argues if it's not a natural process, then there is no boina. And therefore, it would be the same. I do feel there would be a difference between a lachash and sefer yitzira. A lachash is something natural. Maybe it's supernatural by the way we define nature. But Chazal do speak about a lachash. Sefer Yetzira goes all the way back to Bria's Olam, and that is different. Rashi in Sanhedrin of Samech Zayin says, when the Gedoyla Meruam used Sefer Yetzira to create animals, Rashi writes, Memele Ivru, Masei HaKodosh Baruch Hu Hem, when you use Sefer Yetzira, you are in a way awakening Koiches Elyonim, but that is Masei HaKodesh Baruch Hu. It is not you. All you're doing is quoting letters from Sefer Yetzira. Lachash is different. Lachash is something people do. We don't understand what Lachoshim are, but there are realms of nature of which we are not aware of. But it is part of the system HaKadosh Baruch Hu created for man. Sefer Yetzira is different. Sefer Yetzira, all we do is putting together letters in Sefer Yetzira, going all the way back to Masa Bereshit. So I do think Sefer Yetzira and Lachash would not necessarily be the same. Number three, when a person uses the Urim V'Tumim, would that be a chashash of Koisef? One of the great Gedolim 300 years ago was Reb David Oppenheim. He was the Rav of Prague more than 300 years ago. And Ashalas Hashuvis Nishal David Or HaChaim Simentes. He quotes the Gemara, David HaMelech, Mavur Be'erev and Mem Heyu Medalev, used the Urim and Tumim on Shabbos. So Reb David Oppenheim deals, would that be a shail of Koisef? Because when you ask the Urim V'Tumim, there's a machloikas in humidifying Gimel exactly how the Urim V'Tumim responds. According to one opinion of the Gemara, the relevant letters light up as if by electricity. We don't know how. But the letters light up, and that is how the Koyin knows how to read the response. According to the other opinion of the Gemara, no. The letters shuffle around, and they move, and they create words and sentences. And Reb David Oppenheim argues that according to both opinions, l'chayra, that would be koisef. So would it be a violation of Hilchos Shabbos? So the initial David says, no, it's not nature, supernatural. All the person does, he's just speaking, and that is not considered koisef. However, Maaser Rekeach, also, a very early Achron in Parshas Matos, he says, Shabbos, it's an Isser to use the Urim V'Tumim because of Koisef. I myself wonder, how would that be considered Koisef? All the Kayan does is asking the questions. The Urim V'Tumim supplies the answers. So why would that be considered Koisef? It is not the Kayan responding. The Kohen only asks questions. And if a Kodesh Baruch Hu doesn't want, the Urim V'Tumim will not respond. Sometimes the Urim V'Tumim did not respond. Not always did the Kohen receive a response. So I don't understand this entire argument, this entire discussion. Why would it be considered Koisef? All the Kohen is doing is asking. He's not answering. The Urim V'Tumim is responding. Maybe that would be considered a Goyrim? No. I don't even think it would be considered a goyim because it's not a natural process. And if HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't want to respond, he won't respond. The Urim V'Tumim won't respond. So to me, it's a pshitas. It has nothing to do with Kaisav Ali Yedei Shem. All he's doing is asking questions. So to me, it would be a pshitas that would not be considered Kaisav. Shalas HaTshuvas Leiv Chaim from Rab Chaim Palaji, Chelik Beisim Akuf Peches. He writes an amazing zgula. I never tried it out, and I hope I never will need to try it out. But he writes that if you have a fire on Shabbos, as good to put out this fire is to say, Mizmor Shiru L'Hashem Shir Chodesh. That Mizmor puts out fires. Maybe we should let the Machabeyesh know, because it could solve a lot of problems on Shabbos. So before dragging the fire hoses, try to say Mizmor Shiru L'Hashem Shir Chodesh. So Rav Chaim Palaji writes that that's as good as to putting out fires. And he deals with the question, would that be permissible on Shabbos? Would that be considered Malachas Mechaba? Well, interesting. You could guess that his answer is yes, that would be permissible on Shabbos. And I think so, because once again, it's a zgula. And whatever you do with Derech Zguli would not be defined as a Malacha on Shabbos. So just a week ago, we spoke about the sugya of Tchumin. And in Erev Mem Gimel Omed Aleph, there's an aboya im yesh tchumin lamala miyasura. No, I think here we didn't speak about tchumin. In other places I spoke about tchumin. Last week here we spoke about hida mitzvah, right? So the Gemara in Erev Mem Gimel Omed Aleph, as a shaila im yesh tchumin lamala miyasura or ain't tchumin lamala miyasura. And the Gemara says, what is the circumstances? When do we deal with the question im yesh tchumin lamala miyasura? Bekoifetz, bekfitza, and Rashi writes kfitza alidei shame. So a person uses a shame and he jumps 2,000 ama lamala miasora on top of a sora tfochim. And the Gemara is mesupik, would that be considered an isser of yoitze chutz l'tchum? So my question is, why would the question only be tchum in amala masora? Would that be bechlal considered yoitze chutz l'tchum? You know, he's doing it alidei shame. But one could argue, but after all, he is the one that's moving. So when you do something al yedei shem and it's external to you, maybe that would not be considered a malacha. But you are the one that's jumping. How you jump is irrelevant. It's your idea, your initiative, and your body is moving. So if the Gemara says kfitza al yedei shem, once again, I'm totally ignorant in the sugya, because I never was koifetz al yedei shem. I could only guess from the lashon of the Gemara koifetz that he actually jumps. So, without using that shem, even an Olympic far jumper, so how far could he jump? 2 meters, 3 meters, 4 meters, 5 meters? Gravitation will always have the upper hand. And what goes up must come down. So he actually jumps, but he uses a shem, and that'll take him alpayim amo. But there is koyach ha'odam. He actually is doing something. Well, he takes advantage of the shem. So this Gemara does seem to prove koyfetz al yedei shem, if we say yesh tchumin lamala miyasora, would be a prohibition. Twice in Torah's Moshe, Parshas B'Shalach that we read last week and Parshas Baloisro and Chumash B'Midbo, we learned the sugya of man. And in Yom Edafayin Hay, the Gemara says that this man had some supernatural traits. And the Gemara says in Yuma that you just merely had to decide what taste you wish, and you had it. And in Mechulta, there's a Mechloikis Tanur. One opinion says, Haroitze Mavushel, Hoyu Mizbasheloi. The other says, Haroitze Mavushel, Hoyu Toyem, Tam, Kolamevusholim, Shribiyoilam. So the Machloikis is, when a person wanted man betam steak. So was it actually cooked? Was it actually grilled? Or broiled? Or no, it stayed the same. The taste was whatever you wished to have. So, if a person decided he wants grilled steak, is the Oiver an Mevashel. It actually happened. So Mincha Sosher, Chumash Bamidbar Simachov Aleph, I dealt with this question. The Chido in his Sefer Al HaTorah Pnei David deals with the question if a person caused Bishul merely by wanting Mevushel. That's the closest thing we have to thought-activated devices, yeah? That is what we had with the man. You just merely needed to want, needed to think. And according to one shit in the Mechilta, you caused Bishul. You caused the baking process. You caused the boiling process. Would he be chayiv? So, in my opinion is, wouldn't be any worse than Bishul Bachama. I'm a Vassal Bachama potter. So it would be different than Bishul Bachama. Because if you wanted cooked meat, does that mean that suddenly water came around and or just was the meat cooked? I don't know. But this, once again, is a discussion. In the Chido, does the Kena Mabali Toisvis, going back 1,000 years, and Parshas Bala Yisrael writes, Shabbos, that was prohibited because of mitakin. Why mitakin? Maybe the dazakenum feels, no, it wasn't really cooked. It just became a tam. It got the flavor of cooked. And that would be mitakin. That wouldn't be necessarily mevashel. Halachas ketanis, mari chagis, going back more than 400 years, chelik beisim et tzadik ches, deals with the question, hoireg al yedei shem, would he be considered a retzeach? Does he bear responsibility? We find the concept of Hoyreg Al Yedei Shem in different sources. Earliest source, the Medrash on Moshe Rabbeinu. Hala horgeinu atu oimer, kishem shorak tu es amitzri. Rashi brings it on the spot. Horgoi Al Yedei Shem. So the Alochas Ketanis writes, yes, he bears responsibility. And he quotes a posek, chetz shochut l'shoinam. Well, interesting. An interesting havraka. So the Halachas Ketanis argues, yes, he bears responsibility. I think there is room to differentiate between Aveira Shemen Odom L'Chaveiroi and Chilul Shabbos L'Moshel. Chilul Shabbos Al Yedei Shem would not be considered Chilul Shabbos. But when you're killing a person or destroying his property, maybe you bear responsibility even however it comes to be. Maybe not in Beis Din, but Lefnim Eshur Sadin, Grome Ben Ezikin Poto, Garmi Eschayev. So when a person causes damage, Al Yidei Machshav, Al Yidei Shem, would that be considered Grome or would it be considered Garmi? And this brings us to a very interesting question. Many sources in Shas, Bava Basra Ayin Hei, Shabbos Lamed Daled, many other sources. Yoav Be'enei, Va'osoy Gal Shalat Somois. Would that be considered Ritzicha? Reb Shimon Bar Yochai wasn't a Ritzach. And when he left the Maira, after 12 years, he saw people plowing their fields, harvesting, working in the fields. Yoav Be'ena V'yosegal Shalat Somos. He didn't kill people, Reb Shimon Bar Yochai. Neither did Reb Yochanan Bava Basra Ayinei. So, how about Yoav Be'ena? So the Chido in Sefer Devash Lepi writes, Hoyreg Al Yedei Shem Mayit B'Chayiv. Yoav Be'ena is different. And he explains the methodology of Yoav Be'enei. So he writes, you suck out the Netzoitzes HaKedusha, and therefore the man could no longer have any life. Once again, I could just quote what they say. I don't know how it works. But that is more or less what the Or HaChaim says in Parshas Boi, the Chido in Sefer Devash Lepi, the Chsam Sofer in Parshas Vayishlach, quoting his great Rebbe, the Haflo, and Rebbe Yankov Emden, in Bava Mitzia Daf Memvav. In my opinion, and I was so happy to see that I was mechaven to the Chazon Ish, happens to me very much, I think whenever in Shas we learn Yoav Be'enei, Chas v'Sholom to think that that was intentional. They had no intention of harming people. Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai didn't want to kill people, and neither did Rabbi Yochanan, and neither all the other Tanoim and Amaroim that we find in Shas. Yoav Be'ena is some sort of a kpeda. And sometimes when these great tzaddikim that were greater than Malachi Ashor, if they had a kpeda, it sometimes could cause harm to other people. that bear responsibility, that caused that kpeda. But yoav b'yeneh v'yoav segal shel atzumus doesn't mean that that is what they intended to do. And that is more or less what the Chazon Ish writes, Chazumish, Choyshe Mishpot Lekitim Semachof Alef, Chidushim al Bava Basra. There is a paragraph that starts off, Yoav b'yeneh, and that is the way I understand the Chazon Ish. So everything we quoted up to this moment deals with the question, to what extent does a person bear responsibility for what he causes? By thought, by dibur, without actually doing anything. So in all our earlier sources, we're not dealing with natural processes. We're dealing with something which is supernatural. Maybe the only exception is lachash. But once again, we don't know exactly how a lachash works. It's not shame. It's not alidei shame. But it is some form of supernatural process. On the verge, on the limit between the natural and the supernatural, I would describe it that way. But the common denominator between all the sources is when a person performs something, alidei mechshov, alidei dibur, what would be the degree of his responsibility regarding mitzvah say and regarding lavin. Now, I'm going over to a totally different discussion, but it is relevant regarding new technologies. The concept of Dumia de Mishkan. So we learn Malachas Shabbos from Mishkan. And many different ways, many different sources, many different ideas. First of all, in Shabbos Memtes, Lamites Malachas, as I mentioned in the beginning of today's shiur, are derived from the Mishkan. Those malachas that were essential in the erection of the Mishkan, they are the Lamites malachas. But we also learn the key, the most basic element, the most basic halacha in Malachas Shabbos is the concept of Malachas Machshavos. Malachas Machshavos is not written in the Torah in the context of Shabbos, but in Parshas V'yakel in the context of Akomis HaMishkan. But that is the most basic element, the most basic idea in Hilchos Shabbos is Maleches Machsheves, is something we learn from the Mishkan. How do we define a Maleches She'ein Tzricha Legufo? Machloikas Rashi and Tosfos. Without going into the depth and the details of the sugya Maleches She'ein Tzricha Legufo, Rashi, Shabbos Tzadik Dalet writes, Bertzoinoi Loi Boloi. Tosfos' definition is any Malacha that is performed for a different motive that it was performed in the Mishkan is defined the Malacha She'ein Tzricha Legufa. Because the essence of every Malacha we learn from the Mishkan. So if the rationale or the objective of a Malacha is not the same that it was in the Mishkan, that would be defined the Malacha She'ein Tzricha Legufa. So this is another concept that we learn, Malacha Shabbos, from the Mishkan. There are a set of malachas in the list of lamites, which are davo vehipuchoi, which is soisa almenas livnois, korea almenas litvor, moichek almenas lechtoiv. And Rashi explains, why would soisa not be defined as a malacha only if it's almenas livnois? The same referring to Soisa Almanas Lichtoiv and Korea Almanas Litvor, because that's the way it was in the Mishkan. Some other Rishonim say it's a Mekalkel. If the Soisa is not Almanas Livnois and Moichik is not Almanas Lichtoiv and Korea is not Almanas Litvor, then it's a Mekalkel. But Rashi feels no. It's not only that it's a Mekalkel, it isn't defined as a Malocha at all. And why? Because that's the way it was in Mishkan. An additional source of Dumya de Mishkan. So in my Svarim and in my writings, I think what I'm saying today wasn't printed yet in my Svarim. I brought many more sources in which we see that the details and the essence of Malachos Shabbos must be similar to the Mishkan. All the details of Rishus HaRabim we learn from the Mishkan. Rishus HaRabim Mekura is not defined as a Rishus HaRabim. A million people might be passing that mall every day, but if it has a roof, it cannot be defined as a Rishus HaRabim, because there was no Rishus HaRabim in the Midbar that was covered. Shishim Riboy Bokim Boy, is that is what was in the Mishkan. So all the details of Rishus HaRabim, once again, are derived from the Mishkan. So all the sources I quoted up to this moment are basics and fundamentals in Hilchos Shabbos. But now I want to quote three sources from Gedolei Achronim, which are somewhat problematic and thought-provoking. So more than 200 years ago, there was a big machlokes between the Noida B'Yuda and the Chasam Sofer. Is it permissible to use an umbrella on Shabbos? The Noida B'Yuda writes in Siman Lamed, Kama, or Chaim, Korav Ani Loimish is a Issa D'Uraisa, Sia Soil. Some time ago, a person came to me with an amazing thing, a Shabbos umbrella, and he asked me for a haskama. Amazing. And I think it was a good idea. What was unique about his umbrella is it doesn't have a spitz. It has like a dome on top. Beautiful dome. The umbrella is white, not black, as fitting for Shabbos. And even printed with big letters, L'Kovod Shabbos Kodesh. But what was the basic idea? It's like a dome. It's a tefach. And if it's a tefach, opening it is just Moisef Aloy Alarei. Mutu Lohoisef Aloy Alarei. All the other umbrellas in the entire world, when they're closed, they don't have a tefach. So he made a Shabbos umbrella. He asked my Eskoma. I promised him Eskoma number two. What do you mean, he asked. I said, if the Eidach Reidus will give you Eskoma number one, I'm number two. I didn't see him since then. So obviously, he still didn't get Eskoma number one. I assume he would come back to me for Eskoma number two. But al pi halacha, I think it's a great idea. No problem, because if when you close that umbrella, it still is a tefach, then would be Moisef Aloy Alarei. But the Noida B'Yuda argued opening an umbrella would be an Issur D'Oraisa. And in Tshuvas Chasam Sofer, Rechaim Siman Ayin Beis, he writes, I don't even think it's an Issur D'Rabbanan. That's what the Chasam Sofer writes. And he writes three arguments why it wouldn't be a Sias Oyel at all. Argument number three is, it's not Dumi the Mishkan. In the Mishkan, we didn't find an oil that was portable, moved around with a person in his hand. Oyel Arai is a tent, which is a temporary tent. But it's a tent, and every tent is, you know, stationary, not mobile. So the Chasam Sofer writes, would there be an oil that is totally mobile? It's not Dumi in the Mishkan. So this is an interesting argument. It needs to be Dumya de Mishkan. The Noida B'Yuda didn't even think of that argument. Doesn't need to be entirely Dumya de Mishkan. An oil is an oil, according to the Noida B'Yuda. But that's the argument of the Chasam Sofer. One of the great Gedolim in Hungary in the time of the Chasam Sofer was Rabbi Yehuda Asad. He was a Talmud of Rav Mordechai Benet, almost the same age as the Chasam Sofer, a bit younger. And he was one of the great Gedolim in Hungary. Tshuvas Mari Asad, Or HaChaim Siman Samech Aleph, he deals with the question of a pump feeding water to a building, and there is an underground chute in which the water passes. And the question was, when you open the pump and the water flows, it actually broadens that ditch. Would that be a shayla of boina, like a shavuya gumis, like the prohibition to push a knife between stones in the wall, because that would be a shavuya gumis, that would be boina. And Rabbi Yehuda Asad has a very interesting argument, and he says, because that ditch is underground and it isn't visible to the naked eye, you don't see it, then it's not Dumya de Mishkan. There was no boina in the Mishkan which wasn't visible, which was underground. And that is similar to the argument of the Chasam Sofer regarding an umbrella. After all, if it's boina, it's boina. Rabbi Yehuda Asad said, but there was nothing similar in the Mishkan. And this brings us to the Maharsham, Chelek Beis Siman Reish Mem Zayin. So the Beis Yitzchak and the Marsham were the first two Gedolim who dealt with the question of electricity. They didn't have light bulbs yet, so they weren't speaking about light. Rabbi Yitzchak Shmelkes and the Marsham were before Thomas Edison. So they weren't dealing with bulbs, but they were dealing with telegraphs and the usage of electricity. So the Beis Yitzchak writes, it's an Issa D'Rabbanan of Moiled, and the Marsham contemplates whatever it is, it's not Dumiyah D'Mishkan, so it wouldn't be defined as a Malocha D'Urais. So we find in these three Gedolim, some Sofer, Rabbi Yehuda Asad, and the Marsham, Dumiyah D'Mishkan. And we follow in their footsteps. Nothing today is Dumiyah D'Mishkan, especially when you're dealing with electronics. What is Dumiyah D'Mishkan? So we're approaching a time in which nothing will be Dumiyah D'Mishkan. Whatever we do is remotely not Dumiyah D'Mishkan. And therefore, I think these Gedolim, as great they were, all three were giants, but that is not accepted ruling. And all the others assumed that closing an electrical circuit would be defined as a Malocha D'Oraisa, and I wrote the same in Chelek Aleph and Chelek Beis of Tshuvas Minchas Osho without going into the details. So the argument of Dumiyah D'Mishkan is an interesting argument, but it is very difficult to say how Dumiyah D'Mishkan must the Malocha need to be. So most of the other poskim assumed no. What we learn from the Mishkan is the essence of the malachas, but not the way they actually need to be implemented and performed in every day and age. So even though the way we do malachas, the technology we use, is not even remotely Dumiyah D'Mishkan, but if the essence of the malacha is the same, that would be defined as a malacha legabe Hilchos Shabbos. So regarding with new devices, voice activated, motion activated, thought activated, one of the basic sugis we need to deal with is kalachiyad. So Rashi writes, Hamavashal Bachama Mutar. It's not only Potter, it's Mutar. Rashi writes, Ein Derech Bishul Bakach. And that is a pele. If he means kalachiyad, kalachiyad is an Issa D'Rabbanan. But Mevashal Bacham is Mutar Lechatchila. So in Minchas Osho, Masechet Psochem, I argued, there's a difference between Kelach Yad, which the Malacha is essentially the same. It's only the way you're doing the Malacha is with a Shinui. That's an Issa D'Rabbanan. But Mevashal Bacham is a totally different concept of Bishul. Because the only heat source that was available, that was used thousands of years ago, was fire. And therefore, Mevashal Bachama is a different type of bishul. It's not only a shinui b'masa ha'odom, it's a shinui in the essence of the malach. And that would not even be defined as kalachiyad. It wouldn't be an issa d'rabbanan. So how would we relate with thought-activated devices? Would that be kalachiyad? My feeling is kalachiyad is when you do a certain malocha shelo kederech asiyosa. But when you perform malochas with your voice, with your thoughts, that is shelo kederech asiyas kala malochas. It's not only shelo kederech hoitzoa, or lo kederech bishul, or lo kederech ktsira, or lo kederech ksiva. It is not kederech asiyas malocha at all. So I think that would be less than kalachiyad, but that would not be room for leniency, because it definitely wouldn't be less than a groma. A groma, there is no maisa. Asiya asra teirahu groma sharia. And nevertheless, I wrote many tshuvas based on the Gemara and Bava Kama Dav Samach. Even a groma is transformed into an Issa D'Oraisa if it is intentional and if you achieve your goal, b'derech groma. And that is the concept of Hare is Avida Machshavtoi and Malachas Machshavas Asra Toira. And that is why Libo v'libis Ruach Potter Benezikin Hazoyre v'Haruach Messiah Soi chayev b'shamis. So we just touched upon very basic and fundamental yesoides in Hilchos Shabbos, and I think it was an interesting discussion on various different levels. First part of the shiur, anything you perform by dibur, al yedei shem. Most of the sources were above and beyond the realm of the natural. Then we spoke about dum yedei malocha, dum yedei mishkan, and then very briefly about the concepts of shinui and kelachayal. So in this week's parsha, we arrive at Har Sinai, and we learn about Matan Torah, Mamed Har Sinai, and Aseres Adibros. And we have a lav, Hishomer Locho Pentishkach Esadvorim Asher Ro'o Einecho. Lest we forget Mamed Har Sinai. So Har Sinai is one of the events we are to remember forever. Another is Yitzias Mitzrayim. Those are the moments of glory we had in our history. And those are the moments that need to live amongst us every day. Every day ad keitz hayomim. So we have the mitzvah of Schiras Yitzias Mitzrayim. And we have the mitzvah to remember Mamed Har Sinai. What is the emphasis? Asher ro'o einecho. Isn't it more important what we heard on Har Sinai or what we saw? The lav isn't pentishkach es advorim asher shomo oznecho. Pentishkach es advorim asher ro'o einecho. So the Pasuk says, V'kalawam royen es akoylois. And Chazal say in Mechilta, Shohayo royen es anishmo, V'shoymen es aniro. So obviously, that was a miracle. That was miraculous. How could one see voices? But that is what happened at Har Sinai. V'kalawam royen es akoylois. So there's an amazing Musa idea in Nefesh HaChaim, Shah Gimel Perik Yud Aleph. And we find the exact same idea in Bnei Yisoscho, Mamorei Chodesh Sivan. So the Bnei Yisoscho was one of the Talmidei Talmidav of the Baal Shem Tov, and Abchaim is Godel Talmidei Hagro. And both write the same idea. And they both explain. Man has been bestowed by a Kodesh Baruch Hu five senses. Ria, Shmia, Reach, Tam, taste, and feeling, Mishush, Yedayim. Which is the most obvious of the five? Which is the most trustworthy of the five? Obviously, sight. Even the Gemara says, Lo tehe Shmia, Gedoyla Miria. People could doubt what they hear, but people will never doubt what they see. And people will argue, I saw it myself. Be'enai ru'isi. So Rav Chaim of Elazar and the Bnei Yisoscho both say, to us, believers, God-fearing Jews, Shmia is far more important than Ria. Because our world, the essentials, the basics, we believe in, we never saw. Ki lo yirani ha'odam v'chai. No human being, no mortal ever saw a Kodesh Baruch Hu. Not even Moshe Rabbeinu. We have never seen Malachim and Seraphim, and we believe they exist, because that is what the Torah teaches us, that is what Chazal teaches us. In Chazal we find Shadim and Ruchos, and Malachim and Seraphim. Nobody even ever saw a neshama. And we know that what we are all about is the neshama. And when we speak about ourselves, that is the neshama, that is who we are, and not only our bodies. So to us, Shmia is that much more important than Riyah. So the Nefesh HaChaim and the Bnei HaSoscha say that Klal Yisrael, at the time of Mamed Har Sinai, we were elevated to such a spiritual level in which what we hear was so evident to them and so obvious and so tangible and so real as if it was seen. And all the physical world was so insignificant to them, and they felt so detached from the physical that it was as if they merely heard about the physical world. So that is an approach and an explanation forwarded by the Bnei HaSoscha and the Nefesh HaChaim. But on Pashtus HaDvorim, yes, it was a miracle. We saw the koilos, we saw the voices, and we actually saw the Aseres HaDibros, and we not only heard them. So in Bava Basra Dafayin Hei, Chazal tell the story. Kihud Rabbi Yochanan Navi Yosef Vedorish. Rabbi Yochanan was Dorish Aposek and Navi. Ma'i Dechziv. Vesamti kot kot shim shusayach vishurayach avun yegdach. Osa da kodesh boch ilahe viavonim toivim vemergolius shem shloy shemamu vishloy shemamu. Vechoy keik bohem eser al esrem vemamidon bishay Yerushalayim. That is what Rabbi Yochanan Darshan. One of his Talmidim was amused. It seemed funny to him. And he thought to himself, Avonim Toivim Vemerigolias, diamonds and gems, Shloishim Amo, Shloishim Amo, Hashtek Abiyasid, the Tzitzle Lomash Kachina, and Kula Hayashkechin. We don't even find diamonds that are as big as the egg of a little sparrow. How could it be Shloishim Amo, Shloishim Amo? Sometime later, Hefligis Vanosa Biyam. That Talmud took a journey on the sea. Varo, Malachim dukunas ravonim sham shloishama shloishama. Obviously, he was a great man, and he saw angels that are cutting stones that are shloishama shloishama. He actually turned to them and he asked them, "What is this for?" And the angels told him, "Kodesh Baruch Hu will be mamed these gems b'shari Yerushalayim." When he came back to Rabbi Yochanan's yeshiva, he was so excited, stormed into the Beis Medrash, and he cries out to Rabbi Yochanan, "Droish, Rabbi, droish, kasher omartu kein ruisi." How does Rabbi Yochanan respond? If any of you remember Bava Basra Dafayin Hei, then don't say. How does Rabbi Yochanan respond? We would imagine, Omed v'nashkoi al roishoi. No, Rabbi Yochanan says, Reiko, leidegayar. He says, Reiko, odem reik. Lulei roisu, loi hemanto. And if you wouldn't see, you wouldn't believe, Yov beyena v'yaseg al shalatzumas. Brings us back to the first part of the shiur today. Why was the Birchan so aggravated? I think he should have been very happy. He should have been overtaken with joy and emotion. He should have told his Talmidim, do you hear what he has to say? I told you 6 months ago, he saw it. The Birchan is amazed. Lulei ro'isu loy hamanto. Do you believe only what you see? And what you didn't see, you don't believe. The Gadol Hador sits in Beis Medrash, and he teaches Torah. And you don't believe till you see. What type of a Jew are you if you don't believe until you see? That goes totally against everything that's precious to us, everything we cherish. Our world is built on Shmir, on Mesorah, on tradition. It's not what we see. That is why Rabbi Yochanan was so disappointed when this Talmud says, "Droish Rabbi Droish Kasher Omarto Kein Ruisi." And once again, I think Yov Beyena Ve'osigal Shalatzomes. That was a nace, and it came to indicate what is a man if not his neshama, which nobody could ever see. He is not more than a gal shalatzomes. It is only his spirit that keeps him going, that gives him life, and nobody saw. The human spirit. Nobody ever saw any show. And then we have another story in Brochas Daf Nun Ches. Brochas Daf Nun Ches, the Gemara says, Le'oilam yorat sodom lirois malchei umesu'oilam. It is a mitzvah to go see the glory and the magnificence of kings. She'im yorat se'yavkim. And when you see the glory of a king, you have a brocha to make. So a king was coming to town. And everybody went out to the Kabbalah Sponim, and Rav Sheshes goes along. Rav Sheshes was blind, one of the great Amiloim. V'pogabeya hu tzedoiki, and a tzedoiki meets Rav Sheshes in the middle of the throng of people going out to be Mekabel Ponim, the king that's coming. So the goy, the tzedoiki, asks Rav Sheshes, people take vessels to the river to bring home water, but if a person has broken vessels, why would he take them to the river? And he meant to Shepherd of Shishas, he meant to tell him, you're blind, so where are you going? You're not going to see anything. And if Shishas says, come along, and you'll see that I see better than you do. Okay. Hayelchu shneim yachdov bilti im noyadu. And they go together, Rav Sheshes and the tzedaki that walks together with him. And they're waiting for the king. And suddenly, there's a big commotion. And the tzedaki wants to be helpful to his blind neighbor. And he says, the king is coming. And Rav Sheshes says, no, not yet. How do you know? Okay, patiently wait. The commotion dies down. The king isn't coming. He isn't there. Once again, there's a big commotion. So the tzedaki tells Rav Sheshes, now he's coming. And Rav Sheshes says, no, not yet. Take your time. Be patient. He didn't come. It is only after the third time that tzedaki no longer dared to tell Rav Sheshes anything. Rav Sheshes tells him, now he's coming. And then he came. So tzedaki asks Rav Sheshes, how did you know? So Rav Sheshes says, well, it's a posuk. Malchusa da'ara ma'ein malchusa da'rakia. And the Novi says, Tzevo madatu b'har lefnei Hashem, lo beruach Hashem. V'achar ha'ruach rash, lo berash Hashem. V'achar ha'rash eish, lo be'eish Hashem. V'achrei ha'eish, koil d'momo dako. And that's when the Shechina appeared. So Rav Sheshes didn't see, but obviously he knew better than the tzedaki. And then the king arrives, and Rav Sheshes says the bruchah, shecholak mikvoidoi lebosa v'dam. And the tzedaki once again says, how do you say a bruchah if you don't even see him? Mai hava alei dahu tzedaki. Chazal wonder, what happened to that tzedaki? Rav Sheshes yuav beyenov v'ose gal shalatzomis. And we wonder, Eze einayim natanbo. Rav Sheshes was blind. Blinda Eugen, with his blind eyes, Gal Shalatzumas he made. And I think the message is the same. The tzedaki didn't learn. Rav Sheshes didn't see. But he was far better aware of what's happening than you. You did see. Because he quoted a pasuk in the Navi. And you still didn't learn. And you ask, how do you say a bruch if you don't see? Our world is not what we see. It is what we received from our fathers and forefathers and from earlier generations. Those eternal truths that were passed on from fathers to children and from children to their children. Ma'avis leboni, mulev neiboni, Moshe kibel toira mesirayim, esoro le'yoshua v'yeshua zakeinim, lezakeinim navim, le'anche knesses agdaila. And Matikei Hashmoa ad Hayoim Hazeh. And that started when V'chalu Am Royin Esakois. And we daven. In our tefillah, the Navi says, Ki ayin ba'ayin yiru b'shov Hashem Tzion. V'ro'o kol bo seyachdav, ki pi Hashem dibeo. Wouldn't it be more appropriate to say V'shomu kipi Hashem diber? No. The end of days, once again, we will be zoicha to be royen as a koilois. V'ro'o kolboso yachdov kipi Hashem diber. And in Kedushin Musaf we say, what do we say in Kiddushin and Musaf? V'hu yashmienu beracham of sheines le'enei kol chai leimor. It's not v'hu yashmienu be'oznei kol chai. V'hu yashmienu beracham of sheines le'enei kol chai leimor. Hengu alti eschem achres kereishes liois lochem le'elukim. Bebias goyel tzedek b'mheiru v'yomenu amen.